I'm delighted to welcome a new supporting sponsor to the local government news roundup family. It's Ventia, a leading essential infrastructure services provider, redefining service excellence for communities across Australia and New Zealand. Ventia is operating at over 400 sites and with a large and diverse workforce of over 35,000. They specialise in the long-term operation, maintenance and management of critical public and private assets and infrastructure across a broad range of industry segments, including defence and social infrastructure, infrastructure services, telecommunications and transport. For local government, Ventia specialises in the end-to-end delivery of open space management, soft and hard facilities management, street cleansing, minor capital works and much more. Ventia brings capability in whole-of-life asset management and robust use of data for better decision-making for their clients. Ventia, making infrastructure work sustainably for our communities. Head to ventia.com to find out more. Coming up on the local government news roundup today, reaction to the return of monitors to Greater Geelong, a Melbourne council to stop maintaining state government-owned assets, Cootamundra Gundagai's demerger proposal goes on public exhibition, police called to a meeting of Shoalhaven City Council, a Tasmanian deputy mayor taking the step up to state parliament, another Queensland council CEO resigns, and a West Australian mayor storms out of a public meeting amid accusations of misogyny. Just some of the local government stories getting our attention today. It's time to round them up. Hello, Chris Eddy coming to you from Wadawurrung Land with the local government news roundup, this edition on the morning of Friday the 12th of April 2024, and brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association, hosting a members-only online professional development workshop on managing difficult conversations on Friday the 19th of April. With support from Davidson, the nationally recognised local government recruitment and business advisory service. Greater Geelong Council CEO Ali Wastey has welcomed the latest appointment of municipal monitors to the council, saying advice is welcome when it helps the council to do a better job. Earlier this week, the state government released the final report from the 12-month term of monitors Peter Dorling and Prue Digby and appointed Mr. Dorling and Mark Davies to help guide the council through a number of governance issues until after elections in October. In an opinion piece published by the Geelong Advertiser this week, Ms. Wastey revealed that the city would soon return to a net operating surplus this financial year, with the aim of a surplus in the new budget. Ms. Wastey said she agreed with the previous monitor's desire to see less behaviours that divert the organisation's resources away from the core mission of getting the basics right and focusing on issues that benefit the Greater Geelong community. Meanwhile, speculation has been rife about what prompted the minister to make the latest monitor appointments. The Geelong Advertiser reported insider comments that some councillor relationships have become toxic, with a recent sports funding controversy deepening those divisions. EPA Victoria says two key producers of mulch used by Hobsons Bay City Council do not have asbestos contamination in products for sale at their premises. As its investigations continue into the source of asbestos discovered at parks across Melbourne's west, the EPA says its inspections have shown the material so far to be small in size, in bonded form, and presenting a negligible health risk. The latest EPA reports reveal that Hobsons Bay has now inspected 15 of 21 parks where mulch has been laid in the last 18 months. Five new sites have been identified where a small number of pieces with potential asbestos has been found, with samples sent for priority testing. So far, the presence of asbestos has been confirmed at six sites in Hobsons Bay, one site in Brimbank and one in Merribeck. Yarra City Council is pushing back against cost shifting from the state government and has resolved to stop maintaining open spaces, cleaning drains and providing hazard response services on Victorian government-owned roads from July the 1st. The decision comes after the council found that maintaining these assets was costing ratepayers up to 10 times more than what the government provided. Despite negotiations, a more equitable outcome could not be reached. However, the council will continue to provide a biannual street sweeping service as requested by the Department of Transport and Planning. And Yarra Council's advocacy for more open space is closer to realisation, with the Independent Victorian Government Planning Panel giving its support to a change to the public open space contribution rate. The proposed amendment nearly doubles the developer contributions to public open space from 4.5% to 8.65%. The new rate, which still needs the Planning Minister's approval, would apply to commercial, industrial and residential developments, facilitating more open space in Yarra. Melbourne City Football Club and the City of Casey have officially opened the City Football Academy Melbourne at Casey Fields. The state-of-the-art facility will house the club's elite A-League men's and women's teams, six youth academy teams and an administration department. The facility, which cost $18.7 million, also includes spaces for the club's registered charity, City in the Community, and grassroots program, Melbourne City Football School. The City of Casey contributed $12.3 million towards the project. And Moyne Shire Council is urging residents to participate in the My Country Road campaign, a safety initiative by RACV, to provide feedback on the safety of regional roads in Victoria. The campaign uses an online interactive map to highlight high-risk areas. The feedback will be used to advocate for increased funding for road improvements. The council oversees around 3,500 kilometres of roads, divided into arterial roads managed by the state government and municipal roads under the council's responsibility. More news in brief. Hume City Council will celebrate 50 years since the iconic Sunbury Pop Rock Festival with a sell-out Sunbury 24 event this weekend. Original 1970s performers Richard Clapton, Ross Wilson and Joe Camilleri will headline the event, and there's a 50th anniversary exhibition on until the 5th of May. Mayor Naim Kurt said the celebration highlights Hume as a major event destination. Latrobe City Council has formed a social inclusion action group to discuss community needs and recommend local projects promoting social connection, mental health and well-being. The SIAG Community Connection Grant, offering up to $5,000, will fund projects that foster social inclusivity within Latrobe City. New street garden guidelines have been endorsed by Yarra City Council after a consultation period late last year. The guidelines help educate the community on plant selection and provide advice for growing street gardens and preserving local biodiversity. And IBAC is conducting a research project to understand perceptions of corruption and attitudes towards reporting public sector corruption and police misconduct. An online survey will open soon, targeting various stakeholder groups, including community members. Check the IBAC website for more information. It's Friday, the 12th of April. This is the Local Government News Roundup, which is proudly brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association. And on behalf of the VLGA, I want to tell you about a series of workshops that are coming up, designed to increase understanding of the local government sector, the work of councils and the role of a councillor. Registrations are being taken now for workshops in May on standing for local government and local women leading change. And member councils should look out for the VLGA's 2024 local government election pre-candidate prospectus, which is now available. You can find out more by contacting the VLGA via their website, vlga.org.au. Now, let's continue with episode number 322 of the Local Government News Roundup. The New South Wales Local Government Minister Ron Honig has approved Cootamundra Gundagai Regional Council's detailed plan for de-amalgamation for public exhibition. The plan outlines the creation of two new local government areas, including details about rates, service levels, staffing and boundaries. It will be open for comment for a 28-day period, after which the Minister will consider submissions before deciding whether to refer the proposal to the New South Wales Local Government Boundaries Commission for review. A dispute erupted at a Shoalhaven City Council meeting this week when council staff blocked several individuals from entering due to the messages on their T-shirts, which reportedly questioned the council's core values. The council maintained that the conditions of entry were upheld to ensure safety. The Shoalhaven and Nara News reported that the incident led to the police being called and a delay in the meeting. Council CEO Robin Stevens reiterated the council's zero-tolerance approach to behaviours that pose a risk to workers, and the Mayor Amanda Findlay supported the staff decision, emphasising the need for a safe workplace. Inner West Council in Sydney is demanding more details about the government's plan to accommodate the 60,000 daily commuters affected by a closure of the T3 rail line before it agrees to host the city's second e-scooter trial. The New South Wales government wants the council to offer e-scooters to commuters while the rail corridor between Sydenham and Bankstown is shut down for 12 to 14 months for its conversion into a metro line. The council has deferred making a decision on the scooters while they press the government to release its temporary transport plan for the area. Woollahra Council has been accused of undermining state government housing reforms with its plans to seek heritage listing for a number of buildings in the precinct opposite Edgecliff train station. The Sydney Morning Herald reported that the council has also removed 13 sites previously slated for redevelopment. Critics say the council is sabotaging planning reforms to increase housing density near train stations, but the council argues the heritage listing is based on independent expert advice and is not an attempt to thwart the state government. On Monday night, the council adopted an officer recommendation to send the proposal to public exhibition through the Department of Planning, Housing and Infrastructure. Meanwhile, the council has unanimously rejected a development proposal for a 25-storey tower in Edgecliff, citing concerns over compatibility with existing plans, affordable housing, traffic and potential wildlife impact. However, Mayor Richard Shield said the final decision will be made by the Sydney Eastern City Planning Panel, which has commissioned an independent urban design review. If the applicant agrees to make amendments, a revised proposal will be submitted to the New South Wales Department of Planning for further consideration and potential public exhibition. The Department of Home Affairs has approved a variation to the Orana Designated Area Migration Agreement to include Griffith, a move welcomed by Griffith City Council. DAMAs facilitate skilled migration and provide employers with concessions on age limits, English proficiency tests and salary criteria. The Orana DAMA allows employers to sponsor skilled overseas workers for positions they struggle to fill locally. The inclusion of Griffith is expected to alleviate workforce shortages, particularly for major local employers. Northern Beaches Council has issued an emergency order to a contractor in Killarney Heights following reports of unsafe asbestos removal. The issue was reported by a public member and subsequent inspections found asbestos fragments. The contractor was ordered to secure the site until clearance is provided by a qualified occupational hygienist. The council is liaising with the EPA and Safe Work New South Wales about the contractor's conduct and will ensure the area is safe before removing the tape. In Tasmania, Deputy Lord Mayor Helen Burnett, who has served the Hobart community for 19 years, has been elected to the Tasmanian House of Assembly seat of Clark. Lord Mayor Anna Reynolds said Councillor Burnett's election to the Tasmanian House of Assembly was a mark to her community leadership and advocacy for issues of concern to the community. Her position on the Hobart City Council will be filled by a recount from the 2022 local government elections, and the position of Deputy Lord Mayor will be decided by a vote of Hobart City Council elected members. Meander Valley Council has condemned the actions of vandals as disrespectful and deplorable after a small number of graves were damaged at the Deloraine General Cemetery. The council has extended its sympathies to the families affected by the appalling act and pledged to work with local authorities to apprehend those responsible. In Queensland, after over 13 years of service, Brisbane City Council CEO Colin Jensen has announced his resignation. His tenure, which included handling two of Brisbane's worst floods and a pandemic, has been praised by Lord Mayor Adrian Schrinner. The Courier-Mail reported that Jensen's last day will be the 26th of April, with Tim Wright acting in the role during the recruitment process for a new CEO. The new Townsville City Council has decided to double the number of open council meetings it holds each month from 1 to 2 and abolish the 6 committee meetings that were closed to the public. The change, proposed by new Mayor Troy Thompson, aims to increase public accountability by having all councillors present to discuss issues, according to a report from the Townsville Bulletin. The content from the 6 committees will be divided across the 2 council meetings. The total number of meetings will decrease, reducing the operational burden. Advisory committees formed by community representation will remain. And Toowoomba Region Council has stepped up its call for external funding for the $270 million Cressbrook Dam Safety Improvement Project. The project aims to increase flood resilience and protect downstream landholders. Mayor Jeff McDonald said without grant support, the council would need to resort to debt funding, which would negatively impact its financial sustainability. In Western Australia, the City of Nedlands Mayor Fiona Argyle reportedly stormed out of a public meeting this week, accusing some attendees of misogyny. That's according to Perth Now. This was the second walkout from the Council's Audit and Risk Committee this year, with former Chairman Leo McManus resigning midway through a meeting last month over differences of opinion in how to deal with a failed audit. The meeting continued without the mayor, discussing plans to hire a second short-term accountant and increase meeting frequency to address the failed audit. Mayor Argyle did not attend two further council meetings the following night, with Deputy Mayor Kerry Smith stepping in as the meeting chairperson. And the City of Kalamunda has this week appointed Anthony Valletta as its new CEO. The vacancy arose with the resignation of Rhonda Hardy last year after 10 years with the city. Ms. Hardy was battling cancer and sadly has since passed away. Mr. Valletta announced this week that he's resigned from the town of Victoria Park after more than 22 years with the council, including 9 years as CEO. Briefly in other news, the Western Downs Regional Council in Queensland is seeking feedback on its communications and community engagement strategy 2 years after its implementation. The strategy, which was developed through extensive community consultation, aims to improve the council's communication and engagement with residents. The council is conducting a survey to assess the effectiveness of its efforts. More Deputy Mayor appointments across Queensland. Councillor Duncan McInnes OAM has been appointed Deputy Mayor of Scenic Rim Regional Council for 4 years. At Logan City, Councillor Scott Bannon is Deputy Mayor for a 2-year term. Pat Eastwood has been appointed as Deputy Mayor at Livingstone Shire Council's post-election meeting. And North Burnett Regional Council has elected Councillor Melinda Jones to the Deputy Mayor position at its first post-election meeting this week. Mid-Coast Council in New South Wales is seeking public feedback on its draft koala conservation strategy, which will guide koala recovery and conservation efforts on public and private land. The draft strategy reflects community consultation, koala sightings, habitat mapping and scientific knowledge. And Canterbury-Bankstown Council has hailed the success of Ramadan Nights Lakemba 2024, which attracted over 1.57 million visitors, surpassing the previous year's record by nearly 200,000. Let's move straight into the international spotlight now. Out of the UK, firstly, residents of Epsom and Ewell Borough Council can now pay for a new council service to have planning applications decided faster. The optional fast tracking costs £350 for a householder application and £150 for a lawful development certificate, with decisions made within 35 and 21 days, respectively. The new fast track option comes after the council's planning department improved its performance, now exceeding national targets. In Canada, the Mayor of Niagara Falls, Jim Diodati, believes bad weather and a state of emergency declaration hampered the expected turnout of 1 million people for eclipse viewing this week. CTV News reported that only 200,000 people attended the event. The state of emergency declared out of caution was lifted after the event concluded without incident. Mayor Diodati said it was too early to gauge the event's economic impact, but reported that local businesses were busy and telecommunications networks in the area experienced 5 times the regular volume of traffic. A councillor at the City of Winnipeg has apologised for referring to Bike Winnipeg as bicycle Nazis during a city committee meeting. The group has called for Councillor Russ Wyatt's removal from the city's Public Works Committee, citing a flagrant and deliberate violation of the council's code of conduct. Wyatt said his comment was made out of frustration and was not directed at any one person, but he's admitted it was a poor choice of words. To the US, and a group of Minneapolis City Council members plans to propose a delay until July the 1st for a new ordinance boosting rideshare drivers' pay, providing extra time for the city to establish new rideshare companies and for state lawmakers to reach a broader compromise. Axios reported that the delay would also allow the council to consider data from a statewide study on rideshare driver pay. The ordinance, which is currently set to take effect on the 1st of May, has been criticised by Uber and Lyft, who have threatened to leave the city. And to New Zealand, Gisborne District Council plans to endorse its support for retaining Maori wards through a formal resolution, despite the government's plan to introduce binding referendums for Maori wards at the next local body elections in 2025. Radio New Zealand reported on the council's stand after it established Maori wards for the 2022 local body elections. It says the wards help to rectify the long-standing imbalance in council decisions, given that Maori constitute half of the region's population. The government's decision has been criticised as an overreach, and Gisborne District Council wants Local Government New Zealand to lobby the government against the proposed legislative changes. And Whanganui District Council's decision to disband its youth council has sparked shock and concern this week. The decision, part of a $1.1 million savings plan, was made without consulting the youth council, according to a report from Radio New Zealand. Mayor Andrew Tripe has proposed a portfolio structure as an alternative, with one portfolio focusing on youth. However, critics argue this move sends a message that youth voices are expendable in budgetary considerations. The move follows a similar disbandment of the Ashburton Youth Council last year. That brings us to the end of another week of episodes from the Local Government News Roundup, brought to you as always by the Victorian Local Governance Association, with the member-only lunch and learn session coming up next Friday, the 19th of April, on managing difficult conversations. Thanks also to Davidson Recruitment and Business Advisory Services for Local Government for their support of the Roundup. You can find the links to the stories we've referenced in today's episode at our website, lgnewsroundup.com. There's a full transcript there as well. While you're there, you can check out the latest breaking news updates and learn how you can support the Roundup by becoming a subscriber through a small monthly contribution, which you can cancel at any time. The Local Government News Roundup is recorded in the city of Greater Geelong, Victoria, on the land of the Wadawurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I'll be back with more Local Government News on Monday. Until then, thanks for listening and bye for now. The Local Government News Roundup is brought to you by the Victorian Local Governance Association. As Victorian councils go to elections later this year, the VLGA is ready to support communities and councils in good governance. A series of workshops has been designed to increase understanding of the local government sector, the work of councils, and the role of a councillor. Registrations are being taken now for workshops in May on Standing for Local Government and Local Women Leading Change. And member councils should look out for the VLGA's 2024 Local Government Election Pre-Candidate Prospectus, available soon. Find out more about how the VLGA can support your council and community during this important time in the local government election cycle. Visit vlga.org.au.